Well, so grateful that you have chosen to worship with us today. You can be seated. Thank you so much for that gracious welcome. And if you're watching online, we are so glad that you're joining us. And let me first say that Bonnie and I are incredibly grateful. We're humbled. We're grateful to have this opportunity to know some of you, obviously many of you. We'll get to know in the coming months and years, but it is a true privilege to be able to have served here in the past. We were on staff from 1992 to 02 here. We've been gone for 18 years, and now to be back here again for this time and season is just a blessing. And so I want to introduce my family to you real quick. Just got a pick up here so you can see them. Obviously, Bonnie, my wife, grew up here. We actually met on a ski trip through Trinity Church. Our paths didn't cross till a little bit later. That's another day, another story. But Bonnie grew up here. We were married right here in this sanctuary, and so we're grateful for that. We have two children. Our oldest is Carter. He is a sophomore at Texas Tech and was loving life. And we were living in Midland, and he had to move home at spring break due to COVID. And so he's now in his own house here. And our daughter, Kaylee, is just graduated from Midland Christian, and she is now a freshman at Tech. And they live together, and then Kaylee will move into the dorm. And so what that boils down to is that Bonnie and I are now empty nesters. And all I'm going to say is the whole Eccles family feels like the favor of God rests on all of them, all right? We all love each other, but we're just thankful for God's plan in our lives. And so they're in town, and it's just a privilege to be able to be in the same town and still be together and still see what God's doing in our lives. And so, as I said, Trinity Church is a very special place for us. This is where I got saved. I was 17 years old, a senior in high school. A friend of mine invited me on a ski trip through this church. I was not really interested. I knew they would make us sit through some sessions talking about God, but there was this cute little girl going on that ski trip. And listen, at 17 years old, that's all I needed. And so I went on that ski trip. That was my gift that year as a senior. My parents gave me that as my Christmas gift. And it was on that trip that I responded to the gospel and was radically transformed. Then I came home. The youth pastor began to disciple me here. A couple years later, we volunteered. We began interning. And then when I was 20 years old, with a year of college left, Trinity Church hired me full-time with a friend of mine to be the new youth pastors. Now listen, we were not qualified. We were not educated. It was the grace of God. But we grew immensely, and so grateful for that opportunity. In fact, the last time that I preached at Trinity Church, you could capture it on cassette tape. That is the truth. At this very stage right here, Bonnie and I exchanged our vows and made a lifelong covenant. On this very stage right here, Carter has a twin brother that didn't survive, and I preached our son's funeral right from this platform many years ago, and right from this exact same platform, I preached my dad's funeral. And so Trinity Church is very special to us. And so, again, it's a privilege for us to partner with you. We're so excited to get to know you. And that's enough about me. Let's dive into what we're really for here today. I want to thank Pastor Carl, Dr. Cox, for inviting us and trusting us to be on this team for this season. Well, the message today is titled, Making the Most of Seasons That Don't Make Sense. Have you ever found yourself in one of those seasons that absolutely does not make sense? That might be the understatement of the year. Every one of us are in unprecedented times. We are dealing with things that are absolutely crazy and every day make no sense. And so I just Googled for fun, what are some things that don't make sense? Let me share a few of those with you. Why does lemonade have imitation flavor, but furniture polish has real lemon juice? That's a good question. Why are wise men and wise guys opposites? I had a men's group called Wise Guys once in Washington. It was really good. They were wisdom guys, not wise guys. Why is the word abbreviate so long? And on this July 4th weekend, in an election year, this will be as close to politics as I dabble today. If con is the opposite of pro, is Congress the opposite of progress? Well, listen, here's what I know. We are in unprecedented times. Unprecedented times. And there's never a greater moment than for you and I as the church to rise up. Listen, there's a thousand reasons to be discouraged. In this room, there's probably half of you excited about a mask and you're grateful, and the other half of you are sitting there just mad as heck because you're having to wear a mask, or you chose to wear a mask today. There's things we could fight about, but I'm telling you, there's no greater time on the planet than right now for the church to rise up and bring hope and bring encouragement to the things around us. It's going to be incredible as we walk through this together. Well, the Apostle Paul found himself in an unprecedented time. It was near the end of his third missionary journey, and he and his companions were making their way to Jerusalem. We're going to read this in the text in just a moment. And they were going to deliver funds to a poor group of believers that were dealing with a famine. So they were going to help. And on their way, they stopped off and they wound up spending some time with the elders at Ephesus. And in that meeting, there was a prophet. And that prophet was very clear and said, Paul, if you go on to Jerusalem, you will be arrested. And Paul, being laser beamed into the mission and the call of God on his life, said, even if I die, I am going to Jerusalem. Well, that's exactly what happened. He went to Jerusalem. He was minding his own business. They were in a ceremony with some of the other disciples and doing what they came to Jerusalem to do. And of course, an angry mob of Jewish leaders began to make false accusations. Paul gets beaten, and they're attacking him, they're ready to kill him, and some Roman soldiers rescue him by putting him in jail, and then because there's a plot on his life, they relocate him to Caesarea Maritima, a beautiful little town on the coast, and he winds up in prison there. Will you stand with me as we read the Word of God together, and we'll pick up Paul's story with that context here in Acts 24, starting in verse 13. Paul says, these men cannot prove the things they accuse me of doing, but I admit that I follow the way which they call a cult. I worship the God of our ancestors, and I firmly believe the Jewish law and everything written in the prophets. I have the same hope in God that these men have, that he will raise both the righteous and the unrighteous. And because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. And after several years away, I returned to Jerusalem with money to aid my people and to offer sacrifices to God. My accusers saw me in the temple, and as I was completing a purification ceremony, and there was no crowd around me, and there was no rioting. Let's skip to verse 22 for time. At that point, Felix, who was quite familiar with the way, adjourned the hearing and said, wait until Lysias, the garrison commander, arrives, and then I'll decide this case. So he ordered an officer to keep Paul in custody, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to come visit him and take care of his needs. A few days later, Felix came back with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and sending for Paul, they listened to him as he told them about faith in Christ Jesus. As he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control in the coming day of judgment, Felix became frightened. That's another word for conviction. Go away for now, he replied, he told Paul. When it's more convenient, I'll call for you again. He also hoped that Paul would bribe him, so he sent for him quite often and talked with him. After 2 years went by this way, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And because Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jewish people, he left Paul in prison. Lord, would you speak now? Would you bring clarity from the Word of God on how we can navigate these uncertain times? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I want you to think about this for a moment. Paul sat in an oceanfront cell, and if you have been there, I actually had the privilege of going there on a study tour a couple years ago and saw this exact spot. And this is an incredibly beautiful spot, but let me remind you, he was in prison. And as Paul sat on that oceanfront cell for 2+ years, what did he do? How did he navigate a crazy time in his life? There were 4 super clear things that happened, and I'll unpack these a little bit more in the text as we continue. But let me give those 4 to you now. Number 1, he worshiped God. Paul was a worshiper of God. We can see this in some other of his letters where he is in prison and worshiping the Lord under desperate circumstances. Number 2, he held on to hope. Listen, what you and I as believers have is hope. And everything that's going on around us right now, the very fact that you, if you in this room believe in God, you are a possessor of hope. That makes you a carrier of hope. And when you go out into your workplaces, when you go out into the community, you bring hope with you. The third thing that he said that Paul did was he shared the gospel. It says it super clearly right in that text that as they came to visit with him, he shared the gospel with them. And then fourthly, he connected with people through conversations. We see that with his friends coming to meet his needs and spend time with him. We see that with different people coming to interact with him and have conversations with him, all while he's in prison. But Paul did not waste 2+ years sitting in this jail cell because of circumstances around him. Now, I don't know how long COVID-19 is going to isolate us from work. I don't know how long COVID-19 is going to isolate us from relationships, from church, from school, from regular activities, from the things that we do. But what I can tell you is that pandemic or not, our mission as a church, as a school, our mission remains the same. And that is good news today. And so in January of 2020, Bonnie and I were invited to come to Trinity Church. This is our families live here. Our kids were born here. We were invited to come to Trinity Church. Now, I want to be super clear. We came from a spectacular church. We came from an incredible environment. But why did we say yes? Because Trinity Church has a vision, and because Trinity Church is wanting to make a difference in our community, and because the Spirit of God said, Mick, it's time for you guys to pack up and go and do what I'm asking you to do. And so let me share with you what Bonnie and I said yes to. And this is the vision and how we do things here at Trinity Church. You can find this on our website at trinitydayday.com, and I encourage you to go look at this. But let me just share it with you briefly. Now, what Bonnie and I signed up for is this. Trinity Church exists for people like you to connect with God and others, to live out our identity in Christ, and to be part of transforming our world. That's who we are. We as Trinity Church, you, those of you that are watching online that identify with Trinity Church, that's who we are. We are a people that are going to connect with God. We are a people that are going to connect with each other. We're going to continue to learn our identity in Christ. Every day it's just a journey. I'm learning more and more all the time. And what I discovered at Trinity the first 10 years we were here is I learned incredible things about salvation and who the Holy Spirit was. And then my 5 years in the Northwest, God deposited new things in me. And the last 13 years in Midland, Odessa, God deposited new things in me. And I'm so excited that in this next lap of life here, God's going to use you to impart things into us. And we're trusting that God's going to take some things in us and impart them into you because we are the body of Christ and he's called us to transform the world. That's what we said yes to. But how do we do that? Sounds really great. Sounds awesome. But how do we do that? There's 5 specific things we talk about here at Trinity Church that we do. Number one is we extend Christ to all. Another word for this is evangelism. Now listen, evangelism is a very scary word. Most of us, once we get saved, get really afraid to share the gospel with other people. And I want to tell you today that it's normal for us to share the good news of Jesus with other people. I know it's scary, and listen, we are committed to helping you. We're going to give you such simple tools. We're going to make an evangelist out of the person who's most fearful in this room or online at home. We are going to help you, and you're going to discover that it's not that scary. Why? Because it's the good news. It's because it's the same news that transformed you. It was the same news at 17 that radically turned my life upside down overnight. We take that to other people. Listen, we don't just celebrate the guys and the men and women that can get up on a stage and share it from a platform. No, if that's all we ever did, it would be tragic. But in order to, in fact, this is going to be so I'm going to equip you right now. This is, everyone can walk out of here an evangelist right now. You ready for this? If you'll do this one thing, you will automatically be in the game. If you will simply invite someone to church with you. Invite them to watch it online. Invite them to attend with you physically, because every Sunday in this space, the gospel is clearly presented. Now, as you grow, we will help you get to where you're confident that you lead people to Christ before they ever make it to church. And then they can come here and learn how to grow and build. But we must know the gospel. We must be able to verbalize the gospel. Listen, I started full-time at 20 years old. I had a year of college left at Texas Tech. I was popping popcorn at the Corn Popper, which no longer exists. And all I know is being on staff at a church. And let me just tell you, it's not easy to get around lost people when you work full-time at a church. So my entire adult life, I have had to find creative ways to get around unchurched people. Let me share one example with you. When we lived in Washington, knowing we were about to move back to Midland. I grew up in Lubbock, of course. And so Taco Villa, you know, it's got its own cultic following, right? And so I said, Bon, if we move back to Midland, Texas, we're living in the Northwest. There is no Taco Villa. There is no Mexican food. There's a lot of nothing. There's a lot of amazing trees and water, but there's no Mexican food. And I'm not saying Taco Villa is like real Mexican food. I'm just saying it's a genre, all right? I said, if we move back to Midland, I'm going to pastor Taco Villa. That's exactly how I said it. Well, Bonnie knows me, and she's like, whatever. And so, lo and behold, we moved to Midland, and we've been there a few months, and we're eating at Taco Villa, and I'm talking smack again about pastoring Taco Villa. And Bonnie, in her sweet, loving way, said, Mick, you either need to start doing it or quit talking about it. She was tired of hearing me say I'm going to pastor Taco Villa. So I got out of my booth. I walked straight up to the register, and I said, hi, I'm Mickey Eccles. I have a full-time job, but I'm off on Fridays, and I would like to volunteer here on Fridays from 11 to 2. I'll be your best volunteer, but I'm only going to give you 3 hours a week. And they said, well, we can't take volunteers for liability. Now, this is in the oil boom, one of the booms, and so everybody's out in the oil field, and they are desperate for workers. And so they were really desperate that day. They said, but we will hire you. So I took an application back to the booth. Bonnie helped me fill it out, make sure we got everything right. I passed my drug test. I learned how to lift a box without straining my back. And on Fridays from 11 to 2, I worked at Taco Villa. Why? Well, I like Taco Villa. But two, because I wanted to get around unchurched people. And so I just began to pastor that restaurant. And it was so awesome. Church members would come in, and of course they would see me. You know when you see somebody out of context, it kind of messes with your brain a little bit? So I'm in my little Taco Villa shirt, I got my little hat on, and people would come up to order, and they'd just be like, they're looking at me and like, I know you. And I said, do you go to Mid-Cities? That's the church that we were at. And I said, yeah, I'm at Mid-Cities. And multiple times people would say, we're gonna pray for your finances. Listen, Bonnie and I got so blessed financially during that season because we had all these intercessors just praying for us. Listen, my $20 a paycheck every 2 weeks wasn't blessing us financially. It cost me that much for my shoes for cruise and my shirt every week, right? But man, we got to get around people. Big Mama. There's this employee named Big Mama. Now, I didn't make that up. She introduced herself. She goes, I'm Big Mama. That's what you're going to call me. And I was very uncomfortable with that. But I wasn't going to argue with Big Mama. And we just began to get to know people. And we got to know Big Mama. And we just began to serve. And Big Mama worked her tail off, single mom, had kids. We would get new shoes for her kids at school. Our church staff gave her 300 community service hours so that she could get her Habitat for Humanity house built, and our staff helped her get into her house with her kids. And we began to change the culture. Why? Because we've got to get around lost people. We can't just congregate around each other all the time. The gospel has to go forth, and it was just a way that I could get out of my world into other places. Phone rang at Taco Villa one day. I'm talking a phone on the wall. And I don't know that number. I hadn't even touched a like telephone like that in years. And they said, Mickey, it's for you. And I've got my cell phone in my pocket. I'm thinking anybody that knows I'm here would call me here. And so I go to the phone, and this is Mickey. And it was a big wig. Now, the Taco Bellas that are owned in Lubbock and in Midland are different entities, but Rosa's is Rosa's. And Rosa's is owned out of Midland, Odessa. And of course, it's all over the place now. But this was a big wig that owns Rosa's, Taco Villa, all these different restaurants. And they said, hey, Mickey, we've heard about you. And we have this employee, a manager, that wants to know more about baptism. Would you come to one of our leadership meetings for all of our management, for all of our restaurant chains, and will you speak about baptism? Well, listen, I'm just selling burritos trying to upsell you sour cream and guacamole. All right? Yeah, I'll be there. And so they invite me to this corporate meeting because an employee wants to know more about baptism. And I said, okay, well, how long do I have? And they said, you got an hour. Now listen, what preacher gets an hour anywhere, right? Now we may take it and you just have to endure it, but it's never on the schedule for an hour. I was like, this is crazy. I'm working at Taco Villa and I've got an hour to talk about baptism. Now listen, you can't talk about baptism unless you talk about salvation. And so we went and spent time with all these leaders and shared the gospel, and there were just opportunities. Listen, you and I have influence outside of these walls. Wherever we're doing life, we have influence. So guess what I'm doing now as a newcomer to Lubbock? Lord, where am I going to plug in? Lord, where are my little niches? I'm thinking Dairy Queen right now, right over here. It's close. They got happy hour from 2 to 5. I'm having to ask the Lord, Lord, if I start pastoring Dairy Queen, can you do something about the calories? Because that hot fudge sundae for a buck in the afternoon happy hour is when I need to be pastoring these people, but I can't take that hot fudge that many days in a row. And so we're kind of working through that, but we're going to find ways to connect with people because I work at a church. Now, you work in the marketplace, you live in neighborhoods, and so we're going to look for ways to bring the hope and the gospel to other people. Can I tell you a crazy story that happened is just less than an hour ago? I was greeting people in the foyer before this service, and I saw this gentleman sitting there, and I just went and introduced myself with my mask on. And I said, hey, how long have you been attending? He said, 2 days. Oh, okay, 2 days. He said, yeah, showed up yesterday morning, and somebody told me to come back last night at 5. So I came back last night at 5, and I'm here today. And I said, man, that's awesome. And I just started telling my story. I said, well, man, you know, this church is really special to me. I got saved at 17 here. And I didn't finish that sentence before tears were streaming down this man's cheeks. It's like, whoa, this is going to be good. Can I just tell you that this young man, right before this service, committed his life to Christ. Because why? Because the harvest is plentiful. Biblically, it's true. The harvest is plentiful. Read it in your Bible. The laborers are what we're praying for. And I'm commissioning you, I'm challenging you to be the laborers. Don't let the staff be the laborers. You be the laborers. We as the body of Christ are laborers in the kingdom of God. Paul said in Ephesians 6, pray for me. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan. Colossians 4, he says, pray for us that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan. Listen, all we're asking you to do is start having conversations about what God's done in your life, and we'll let God do the rest. That's what Bonnie and I signed up for. The second thing Bonnie and I signed up for is engaging God in passionate worship. Here at Trinity Church, we have incredible worship. So grateful for the men and women that serve on our teams and lead us into the presence of God. And let me tell you that worship was a key factor in our transition from Midland to Lubbock these last few months. Paul said in Acts 24, he says, I worship the God of our ancestors. Paul had a heart of worship. And as we worship, God shows up and touches us and changes us. And man, there was no doubt in our mind that God called us to this place for this time and season. We listed our house in early March 2 weeks before COVID went crazy, and the market was awesome. And then the entire world shut down. Nobody's looking at houses. And I remember, we live in Midland, Odessa. Oil and gas, you guys gripe about, here in Lubbock, we gripe about gas if it goes up. In Midland, we celebrate the most expensive gas in the country. Why? Because it's the livelihood of the community. So in Lubbock, I get to come back and celebrate low gas prices with you, right? But oil drops to minus $137 a barrel. That has never happened in our history. Nobody can look at houses. And let me tell you how worship carried us through. We began to listen to two songs in particular that just embedded in our spirit. The Waymaker. You guys know The Waymaker? That, Lord, you are the Waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. God, you've called us to Lubbock. We're trusting you to get our house sold. We're going and we need help. Now, Lord, you remember when we moved from Washington to Midland, we had two houses for 14 months. You do remember that, right? Because, Lord, we don't want two houses again. So, Lord, help us. And we would cry out and we would just play this song and we would take prayer walks. Every day we'd go walk in the evening because there was nothing else to do. The whole world was shut down. And so our prayer life increased. I used to always say I need to grow in prayer, but let me tell you, COVID-19 has made me more of a man of prayer. Prayer just began to come out because it was the only thing we needed to do. Lord, you've got to show up. We've got to have you. Get this house sold, Lord. Get us down the road so we can fulfill what you've called us to do. And that was huge for us. Then the second song that really moved us deeply was The Blessing. The scripture's powerful, but as that came out in song form these last few months, we would just play that over and over again. Can I share how that happened during a worship environment here? Just a few weeks ago, I was sitting right over here. I think it was a Saturday night, Sunday morning service. I don't remember which one. And there's a moment in our service that our worship team and Nathan, he specifically said, we're going to pray. If you need prayer, just raise your hand. We weren't able to pull you forward like we normally do. And he said, if you'll just, wherever you're at, just raise your hand and you'll just turn around and look at people around you. We're just going to sing this song, The Blessing, over you and pray as we do that God meets your needs. Well, it was an incredible moment. Spirit of God falls on this place. And I turn around and there's this young couple sitting behind me. And the Lord just gave me a vision. He gave me a very specific vision that that couple was dealing with a family issue. He gave me a visual picture of exactly what this person looked like. There was a young man in this image of my mind, and it was a family issue, and those guys need a prayer. Well, that's not, I mean, that doesn't happen every day, but it was pretty clear, and I was wrestling with not trying to make them uncomfortable. And so I just said, I turned around and said, hey, if you guys are okay with it, I'd love to pray with you after service today. The Lord showed me something. I just want to share it with you. So after the service, they graciously waited, and we connected. And I said, okay, this is going to sound weird. And I tried to give myself a little out. I said, the Lord showed me something real clear when I turned around and saw you guys. So I want to share that with you. And then if it's totally off, we'll just go, great try, Mick, and then we'll see what you need prayer for. Right? I mean, I don't mind failing. But I knew if it was God, how powerful would that be? So I said, let me just tell you what the Lord showed me. And I described in detail what the Lord showed me during that worship song, The Blessing, in our service time here. And they just started crying. Because they had a son that fit that mental, that visual description, that was a very significant issue in their family. And it was their first time to Trinity Church. Why do we worship? Why do we come in and worship? We don't come in and worship to pick our favorite songs and make sure the volume and the lights and all that's exactly what we want. I understand those things are factors for all of us. We all have preferences, but can I remind us that we come into the house of God to get into the presence of God? Because when we get into the presence of God, God changes people's lives. Listen, I just know that if I'm that family and God read my mail that clearly on that day, I'm coming back to see what else is going on here. Because it's not me, it's not about us. God is doing things in people's lives. So let me encourage you, every week when you show up to worship, don't just come and evaluate, come and see if the Lord, what's the Lord saying to you? People are gonna get healed during our worship times. People are gonna get words of knowledge during our prayer time, our worship times. You're just gonna feel this morning, I just felt the presence of God just consuming me. And I mean, I'm not a real huggy kind of guy, but listen, when God hugs me like that, I love it. Just the presence of God consumes us. We are a worshipful people. And we want to do that. We said yes to being a house of worship. The third thing we said yes to is equipping the believer. It's what we call discipleship. So when somebody gets saved, we want them to grow in the Word. We want them to discover how to grow in the things of God. And it's so simple. Listen, when I got saved, the youth pastor simply met with me every week and spent several weeks with me teaching me how to read my Bible, teaching me the basics of the Christian faith. And so we want to help people. Paul said this in Acts 24:14. He said, I firmly believe the Jewish law and everything written in the prophets. What Paul was doing was affirming the truth of God and what was available at that time. Little did he know he'd be writing some other parts of Scripture by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But we want to get people into the Word of God. I said this last evening. I want to say it again today. If the only word that you're getting is sitting in these services physically or online once a week, you are starving yourself to death. You can't survive. It's impossible. In fact, I've done some informal surveys. This is not scientific, by the way. But probably 200 to 300 people, I'm talking key leaders, high-capacity leaders in the church in various ways, and I just ask one simple question. On average, how many days a week do you spend meaningful time with God? Now, I'm talking leaders, all right? I'm talking leaders. See if you can guess what that average is. Get a number in your head. Remember, this is not scientific. This is mixed poll. It's very unreliable. But in my experience, leaders, high-capacity people in the church are spending an average of 3 days a week with God, and that's if I round it up to three. Let me just say something. If we're spending 3 days a week with God, it's not going to cut it. We can't survive. How are you going to go into this culture with the things that we're wrestling with racial tensions, with all of our election stuff, with all the cultural issues? How do we think we're going to go into that environment spending so little time with God that we don't really know the truth? And so we as a church are committed to helping you and me get into the Word of God. And we begin to allow our lives to adjust to the things of God rather than trying to get God to buy into the things that we're all about. It's a radical paradigm shift when we align to the Word of God. The second thing we really value is the Holy Spirit. In this discipleship process, listen, if we can help people begin to grow and understand who the Holy Spirit is, He walks with us every day. Listen, some of these gifts that are welling up in me right now, they're brand new, man. I'm like a little kid in a candy store. Because the last few years, I got around people with different gifts, and those gifts have begun to rub off on me and began to absorb into my life, and all of a sudden, these little things are starting to bubble up in me. And I'm so excited. That's why I like to give myself a disclaimer. Listen, this could be me, it could be God. But a lot of times, it's God. And if it's not, it's easy to say, oh, man, I missed it. And then we all move on. But listen, the Holy Spirit, I made a phone call last week, just calling members of Trinity Church. Hey, how you doing? How can we pray for you in this crazy time? Met a guy named Josh. Man, Josh and I hit it off on the phone. He doesn't know it. He's going to be one of my new best friends. Josh, if you're listening to this, congratulations. We're now friends. But I called Josh, and listen to what Josh told me. I said, hey, how are things going? He said, man, awesome. He goes, I've been sharing the gospel with a friend of mine, and a couple of weeks ago, he accepted Christ, and I'm discipling him now. I said, Josh, you're the kind of guy I want to be around. If that's what you're doing on your own time, I want to be around you. And so I love it that Josh is just out in the community, minding his own business, doing what he does, and he's sharing the gospel, and people are responding, and now he's discipling them and helping them discover the Word of God, begin to discover what walking with the Holy Spirit looks like and all that that entails. So exciting. Well, the fourth thing that Bonnie and I said yes to is experiencing community. We need relationships. And here at Trinity Church, we believe that small groups are a great context for us to do that. Now listen, we were all busy before COVID, but now nobody's got an excuse, right? Listen, you got time on your hands now. Now, you got to be 10 or less, and of course, 6 feet away, but there's never been a calendar clearing like right now for us to reprioritize relationships. Listen, I don't want to be in a group. I'm a guy. Most guys don't want to be in a group, by the way. We go try to get men in groups, they're like, no. Now, we can go shoot something, hit something, throw something. We'll connect. But most of us don't want to be in a group. You ladies, man, we could start 300 women's groups in the next week because you guys want to get together and talk and fellowship and connect. But listen, most of us men don't want to do that. So I started a group a few months ago before we knew we were moving for men who didn't want to be in a group. It's the honest truth. I got on Facebook, which I never do. I'm on Facebook, but I never start groups on like that. I said, hey, I'm going to start a group. I don't really want to be in a group, but I feel like I need to be in a group. So if there's any men that don't want to be in a group and want to be with me, let me know. Guess what happened? All the women messaged me. Hey, will you call my husband? Will you get my husband in your group? He needs to be in a group. And so I made all these ladies a deal. I said, all right, if you get permission from your husband for me to call them, I'll get them in my group. I can sell this one. And so I built a group of men who didn't want to be in a group. We met at Rosa's, Sweet Tea, one of my nemesises. And we would meet every week, and can I tell you, it was honestly the best group I've ever been a part of. None of us knew each other. We didn't know each other. We just knew we didn't want to be in a group. So misery loved company, and these men started texting each other, started praying for one another. These men that weren't in the Bible started getting in the Word. It was incredible. We believe in community. The last thing that we sign up for is empowering people to serve. Remember Paul, he went to give money to the poor. We give our lives away. Listen, the more we mature, here's a little test of maturity for you, by the way. Right now, if the Christian faith is all about you, come evaluate services, feed up, got to find a better Bible study, that wasn't very good, and that teacher wasn't very good. If that's you, you need to grow. Because you know what happens? Here's how you know you're growing. When you decide you're going to start giving your life away. It's not about you anymore. Bonnie and I don't want to lead a marriage group. We've led 14,000 marriage groups. I bet you money we lead another one. You know why? Because people need to grow in their marriages. And it's not about us. And we're not perfect. There's days we don't like each other. I'll say that for another sermon. But we give our lives away. Listen, our children's ministry, our student ministry, we should never be shorthanded on volunteers, ever. Why? If we don't like the country we're living in, we need to be back there shaping the hearts and the minds of our kids. We as a church and a school are going to help you shape the hearts and minds of your kids. So those are the things that Bonnie and I signed up for. Love Lubbock, Heartline, Growth Track. There's so many things that we have available to you, and we're excited to partner with you in that. And so let me close with this. How do we make the most of the seasons that don't make sense? How do we make sense of this crazy season that we're on? We stay on mission. We share the gospel. We disciple those that we win to Christ. We worship passionately. We get into relationships, and we give our lives away serving. That's what we do. Let me pray for you. If you're here today and you've never committed your life to Christ, like my friend this morning, you've heard the truth. You know you're not living for God. Right now, let me share the gospel in its simplest form with you. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave, proving that he is God. And he offers the gift of salvation to everyone who repents of their sin and turns to him. If you've never done that, right now, will you just pray with me and just pray this out loud with me? Lord, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I have not been following you, but I thank you that your word says that while I was a sinner, you died for me. I repent of my sin and I turn to you. Lord, forgive me. Lord, make me new. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I commit to grow with you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.